We are on Yud Aleph Amud Beis. We probably will not finish to the Mishnah on Yud Beis Amud Aleph today, but once we do, that's really the end of the discussion about Itira Self and Mishum Tulasan, and it brings us to the brand new discussion of Mitoch. But we're still on this issue of that which we permit at the end in order to make sure that you will do this in the beginning. It was actually interesting. For those, I can't stop speaking about this assisted death thing. I have four different gigs to speak about this over the course of like 5 days. But what was interesting was the Supreme Court's logic in saying that prohibiting assisted suicide inhibits the right to life or infringes upon the right to life is hitiru sofen mishum tchilasa. Their argument is that if you don't let people help somebody commit suicide, then he's going to commit suicide earlier when he has the ability to do it himself. So hitiru sofan mishum chilasan will let you help him die later to make sure that he will live earlier. That's the hitiru sofan mishum chilasan. It's either that or it's Purim. I'm not sure which.
Because the cloud applies to the same. How do you know you can extend the cloud to two different people?
That's the problem. The problem is they know Adam Chatei Bishvil Shetizkeh Chaverecha.
Assuming there's no other fault in the
law. Yeah. No, Chatei Bishvil Shetizkeh. If you look in this week's Toronto Torah, the 613 mitzvahs, is on assisted suicide this week. Mitzvah 616 is assisted suicide.
Oh, really?
It's Purim Torah this week. Yeah. Wow. It's all Purim Torah this week. So yeah, much discussion. What bracha do you make, and so on.
Because I did see that the Gedolim in Eretz Yisrael, if you want to convert a file now, they have to hit the button 3 times before they allow such a conversion. And it's a whole Torah based on the new.
And they ask you, do you want it? Do you not want
and
it?
The acronym for this new program is GIUR, and I don't remember what GIUR stands for, but the G stands for something, the I stands for something.
Got it. Okay. So within this discussion, we saw it right after the Mishnah. The Mishnah presented the trace it, right? Not to remove the shutters according to Beis Shammai. And Beis Hillel says you're allowed not only to remove them, you're even allowed to put them back. So Ula explained that we're talking about trace chanuyos, the stalls that they had. And Ula said, we permit sofan mishum chilasan, we permit your action in the end in order to ensure you'll do what we want you to do in the beginning in 3 cases. One was or lifnei hadorsan, the hide, putting out the hide where people will trample it. Trace chanuyos, the shutters, and chazaras retiyah b'mikdash, the last point that we made regarding replacing the bandage in the Beis HaMikdash, even though there's a derabanan involved. We saw, remember, the difference between the two Rashis. Rashi earlier, who sounds like it's a deraisa, and Rashi further along in the sugya that's a derabanan, and the Bach got rid of that first Rashi. But that's what we're up to now. So we are on Yud Aleph Amud Beis 11b, and we are about a dozen lines down. Virach ba'amar. You see that? V'rachba Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Av HaPosea Chaviso Humaschel B'Isaso Agav HaRegel. Rachba says, I have a fourth case. The person who starts his barrel or starts his dough during Yom Tov. V'alibad Rabbi Yehuda the Amar Yigmor. Within the view of Rabbi Yehuda, who says you get to finish it. What in the world are we talking about? So before we learn what we're talking about, we have to learn who we're talking about. When it says here that Rachba quotes Rabbi Yehuda, that's actually a problem. And the reason it's a problem is one of the tricks of knowing who you're talking about in the Gemara. When somebody is Rav, it's usually an Amora. When someone is Rebbe, it's usually a Tana. And there are exceptions to that rule, but it is a pretty good rule to know. So when we say Rachba quotes Rabbi Yehuda, we have a problem. Because Rabbi Yehuda implies that it's the Tana Rabbi Yehuda. Rachba never met Rabbi Yehuda. Rachba is too late to meet Rabbi Yehuda. How can Rachba be quoting Rabbi Yehuda? So Rashi gives you some ideas on this. If you see Rashi, V'rachba Amar Rabbi Yehuda, it's almost halfway down the page. He says, Yesh Mefarshim, Safek Mishmei de Rabbi Yehuda Nesia, Safek Mishmei de Rabbi Yehuda. He says, some explain that the way that we end up with Rachba quoting Rabbi Yehuda, even though he never met him, is actually because there is an Amora named Rabbi Yehuda Nesia. Rabbi Yehuda Nesia is grandson of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. So he says, it could be that what happened was it wasn't clear whether he was quoting Rav Yehuda, the Amora, or Rabbi Yehuda Nisiya, the Amora. So therefore they dropped the Nisiya, but they kept the Rabbi. So it has elements of both. He says some give that as their explanation for how Rachba ended up quoting Rabbi Yehuda. But he says, Va'ani Omer, I say, Lo Ra Rachba is Rabbi Yehuda Nisiya. He never met Rabbi Yehuda Nisiya. It's not possible. Why? Dahami Pumpadisa Hava Velomatsinu Sha'alal Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Yehuda Nisiya, as the grandson of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, is in Israel. Right? He is the Nasi. He's in Israel. Rachba lives in Pumpadisa, Fallujah. He never ever met Rabbi Yehuda Nisiya. There's no such thing. That's number one. Ve'od, and further he says, the Gemara elsewhere praises Rachba. The Gemara in Brachas Daf Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis praises Rachba for being very careful in his studies. If he was that careful that he would make sure that when he doesn't know who he's quoting, he would incorporate elements of both names, the Gemara would have said that. Ve'od, ki amrinin ba'alma de'dayek ve'gamar shmaisa mipumei de'rabe ke'rachba de'pumbedisa. When we have, in fact, praise in the Gemara in Brachos that somebody was careful to cite things as he had learned it from his Rebbe, like Rachba and Pumbedisa was, they should have added the praise that even when he wasn't sure who it was, he mentioned both possibilities. In fact, the Gemara Chulin says that regarding Rav Yehuda, that he was careful in that way. It would have mentioned that praise for Rachba as well. So Rashi says this answer is incorrect. So who is this Rav Yehuda? V'nira be'enai, he says, it appears to me, Mishum de Rabbo Muvhak Haya. He says it was Rabbi Yehuda. It wasn't Rabbi Yehuda. However, he was his Rebbe, from whom he learned all of his Torah. Velohaya Lomed Me Rav Acher. He never learned from anybody else. So therefore, Avakarale Rabbi. Lo Nispeke Bid Rav Yehuda Acherina. He called him Rabbi. This is my master, Rabbi Yehuda, lest anyone think it was some other Rabbi Yehuda. That's the idea. That's the way Rashi concludes it. I bring it first because it's a nice long Rashi on the page, and second because it's good to know the Rabbi Rav distinction that you see in the Gemara. But in terms of the actual meat of it, Rachba quoting Rabbi Rav Yehuda says that there's a fourth item on the list of Hitiru Sofa Mishum Tchila. So it has to do with a barrel of wine that you opened or dough that you started on Yom Tov. So what in the world are we talking about? If you take a look at your sheets, I've brought you side sources that that will help clarify. It's based on the issue of Tumah and Tahara on the Regel. The Gemara states that during Yom Tov, we treat everybody as Chaverim. Chaverim meaning that they are trustworthy in terms of their Truman Meiser, and they're trustworthy in terms of Tumah and Tahara. We don't assume that they are Tamei, even if they are an Am Haaretz. As Rashi writes in Chagiga, a parallel sugya to our own, in Source Aleph, Lo Yigmor. What he's talking about, I need to introduce the Rashi, there's actually a second step. Because we say that the Am Haaretz is treated as though he's Tahor on the Regel, Am Haaretz walks into my store. I sell wine. He touches the barrel of wine. What's the status of my barrel of wine? Tahor, because we're treating him as Tahor. Yantif ends. I still have wine in my barrel. What's the status of the barrel now?
Well, let's see. If he touches it again, or...
Even if he doesn't touch it.
Either way.
You would say it's Tamei. It's only some Simchas Yantif that we allow... You know, what's the...
Well, so one answer is...
Depends on the reason of why we treat them this way.
Touch it again.
It doesn't make sense to treat him differently to begin with. You have to understand
why
does the Hetzer for Yom Tov? If he's an Am Haaretz, then the physically it shouldn't matter if it's Yom Tov or not Yom Tov. There has to be a reason why Yom Tov is permitted.
Right.
Why don't allow it?
Hetzer should apply even after Yom Tov.
Why should it apply after Yom Tov?
Because then it gets too complicated, because someone else bought wine from that barrel and didn't finish it and has now left and is not aware that an Am Haaretz touched in the first place. Then that wine is what?
How far are you going to go with this?
Yeah.
So the truth of the matter is, you won't be surprised. You know, it's a machlokes, right? but
we have one here,
right? So on
according to law, and it's two against one, so it's
because you raised it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say that.
Right. On the view of Lo Yigmor, which says that the barrel you opened during Yom Tov may not be finished after Yom Tov. You now have to treat it as being Tameh. On that view, Rashi explains in Chagiga, Lo yigmar acharei haregel, don't finish it after Yom Tov. Even though during Yom Tov we treat it as tahor, whether it's the barrel of wine or whether it's the dough that you started. Because lo shet tahara san tahara, their purity is not a real purity on Yom Tov. It's just this magic thing, which we're going to explore in a moment, that during Yom Tov everybody is rendered a chaver. But once the regel is over, mago tamei lamafreya. Whatever he touched is retroactively tamei. Kid'amar b'masnisin, just like the Mishnah, you know, at the end of Chagiga says, Avar haregel matbilin klei ha'azara mepnesha nagu ben ame haaretz b'regel. After Yom Tov was over, they would dip all the kalim from the Beis HaMikdash in order to purify them, right? There's some machlokes, what if Yom Tov ends on a Thursday, they can't do it all before Shabbos, whatever. But ultimately, after Yom Tov, you're going to dip everything that can be dipped from the Beis HaMikdash because everybody's been marching through there and touching things and potentially rendering them tameh. So the idea that Rashi is presenting is that this tahara that goes on the regel is artificial. He said, lo shet tahara san tahara. Their tahara isn't a real tahara, it's a legal fiction that's created at that moment in time. Why would they create such a fiction? So take a look at source base. The Maritz Chiyus, writing in the Gemara in Nida, also discussing this, he writes, Gadol hapirud b'mesha adam moneya atzmo le'achol etzal Yisrael chaveiro. He says, when one Jew refuses to eat in another Jew's home, that causes great division. U'bifrat eis ra'ash she'eino ne'man etzlo ala maestros v'ala taharos. And especially bad when he says, I don't trust you for tumat tahara, I don't trust you for tithing. V'lo l'chinam amar Rabbi Akiva k'shahaya am ha'aretz miyitan li tamar chacham v'anashchenu kachamor. He says, it's not for nothing that Rabbi Akiva says when he's still in am ha'aretz. He says, I wish someone would show me a tamar chacham, I would bite him like a donkey. And as the Gemara goes further, it says, not just like any donkey, but a white donkey whose bite is not, you can't cure the effect of the bite. Because, why? Because the Talmidei Chachamim held themselves apart. They were prushim. They said, we're not going to touch. The whole point of Aliyah L'Regel, he says, and he's not alone in this, was to get Jews together. The Rambam writes this. The Rambam in the Mora Nevuchim says that the main purpose of Yom Tov, of Aliyah L'Regel, is for Jews to see each other. Not to see the Beis HaMikdash, but it's for Jews to see each other. But if they can't trust each other for taharos, you're not going to achieve your goal. All that will happen is they all get together and talk about how much they hate each other because they won't even each other's houses. That's what's going to happen. So the Chachamim came up with a plan to avoid having the Satan dance among them on these holy days, causing enmity and division. They declare that everybody should function as chaverim during the Yom Tov. And the Amei Ha'aretz are believed regarding their wine and their oil. So they could all eat bread together. They could come to the meals together. Increasing love and unity among them. That's the idea behind declaring everybody chaverim. But what it means is, as Rashi said, it's artificial. They're not really tahor. It's just that we are going to act as though they're tahor.
They're not really friends. They're just pretending to be friends.
No, they're bona fide friends.
Supposed to be friends. Call Yisrael chaverim.
Then by only on 2 days of the year. Ah, 3 days.
Because that's when they have to see each other.
Doesn't the Shabura bring down this and extends it? Let's say you're in someone's house and you shouldn't. Let's say you keep yashan. Let's make it easier. It's a chutzlar. You keep yashan. You're now sitting in someone's house and he brings out the chalas. So doesn't the Shabura say you shouldn't?
Sure, it's this discussion about this, about what you're keeping is fundamentally a slumra.
Okay, but that's because yashan is a debate if it's applied at
There's
all.
There's a bona fide side to say it's fine. Right
here it's worse because here it's worse.
Right. So the question is, who in the world empowered them to play this game?
Right.
I mean, it's a wonderful game, right? It's a beautiful motivation. It's a grand thing to do. But why in the world did you think this was mutter? So a couple of ideas. One is from the Rambam. If you take a look at Source Gimel, the Rambam grounds this in reality. In Hilchos Matami Mishkov Umoshev. Tumas Am Ha'aretz Beragel Kitahora Hi Chashuva. He says the Tuma of...
I don't know what it is.
Yeah. Well, let him come in and learn too. On the Regel. No?
If you want to take care of him, Charlie.
Yeah, you can.
Okay. Tumas Am Ha'aretz Beragel Kitahora Hi Chashuva. He says the Tuma of the Am Ha'aretz on Yom Tov, it's cold out there, I think, let's tell him, is considered like Tahara. Shekol Yisrael Chaverim Hein Beregalim, because they are all Chaverim on the Regel. Uklehem Kulam V'Ochleim U'Mashkeim Tahorim Beregel. All of their kelim, all of their food, all of their liquid, all of them are tahor on the Yantif. Mivnei Shakol Metarin Atzman V'Olam LeRegel, because all of them they are metahir themselves for the sake of Aliyah LeRegel. In other words, what the Rambam is saying is, this isn't just, well, we're going to, you know, wave the magic wand and declare everybody tahor. They were mitahir themselves before Yom Tov. Well, that's what it sounds like, correct. Lefichach hei ne'emanin kol yemos haregel. Therefore, we're going to extend their credibility all through Yom Tov. Bein ala kodesh, bein ala truma. Once Yom Tov is over, they go back to the way they were. But the Rambam at least gives it some basis. Even though... you could legitimately challenge it and say, well, that means they were tahor when you had to start it. That doesn't mean they're tahor by day 7. And it doesn't say anything about how they tithe. But we're at least basing it on some kind of real phenomenon.
So whatever spiritual high they had, they lost it as the regular went out.
Or at least by the end.
Right.
They went home and, you know, things are different once you go
remember,
home.
Remember, the whole Indian that we don't trust in is...
They didn't stay Shana Beis.
No, it's not Shana Beis.
The whole reason we make them as Becheskes Tumah in general
right.
requires also a step of an assumption. So you don't need such a strong one maybe to take it away.
So that's the next argument. That's not the Rambam, but it is the Tzurei
Eved. It might be the Rambam. It could be. It's not saying,
he didn't use the magic words he would have had to use, which is Lo Gazru, which is what the Tzurei Eved is going to use.
Okay. It was not the case that only observant Jews came to the Vesemitish and Yandruk. Somebody who didn't care about religion would...
Well, once they don't care about religion, they kept Shabbos.
Right. Well, two different things. But in terms of the question of whether people came, the answer, I believe, is yes.
Anybody?
Yeah. And the reason I say that is because we have documents from Roman historians who went to see this, who described what they saw at the site and so on. So I would assume that if the Romans cared enough, it must have been a big enough deal that people would have come just out of curiosity to see what it was like. But I don't have any particular evidence to point to. I mean, you have the Gemara in Pesachim that talks about the non-Jew who goes for the Korban Pesach. But take a look at Source Dalet. The Tzurei Eved, also known as the Shagas Aryeh, Rav Aryeh Rav Yehuda Ginsburg is the name that's usually used as his last name, although I remember reading somewhere that that's actually incorrect. But he says the following. Hadahacha posea chaviso beregel. When the Gemara here in Chagiga, a parallel sugya to our own, when it says the fellow opens his barrel on Yantif, lav mishum de beregel lo chashu letumas am haarez mishum de mitarinus atzman beregel. It's not as the Ramban said that they weren't concerned because he makes himself pure. El mishum de beregel lo gazru tuma al am haarez. The issue is that the idea that I'm going to assume that Am Haaretz is Tameh is fundamentally a rabbinic law. That we should make a decree that the Am Haaretz Stam is considered to be Tameh. And they said, we're not making this decree. The decree doesn't apply during Yom Tov. Why? Kidei Shalola Vaishan, either so as not to embarrass them, Omibne Eva, or because we're worried about creating enmity and repercussions of that enmity, the strife that would develop.
Why are all these based on the practicality of it? In other words, if they made things tamei, then no one would have food in your shalayim.
Why wouldn't they?
You'd have people coming up for yontif, and then when they go to buy wine, they'd always have to worry whether it was touched by an amaharetz, and there wouldn't be wine to buy, there wouldn't be... You'd have all the issues.
What you would do is realistically, evolution would take place. You'd develop a mechanism by which you could, you know, sell it in small amounts and bring out small amounts, and therefore you wouldn't become tamei. You'd have separate stores. However they would manage it, economics always wins. You know, let the market figure it out. The market figures it out. Whether you like the results or not is another story, but the market figures it out.
So this decision isn't partly based on Inyan Simchas Yontov, that he wants to make sure that there was food.
Well, we're getting there.
Available for everybody.
Well, we're getting there because that's going to be the question regarding what do you do with the wine afterwards. And the fear that if you tell him it's Tamei after Yontov is over, he won't open it in the first place. So that's where we're going. Alan?
So if I adopt this Turiyev, what happens if I know Mamish? So what we're saying is we're not going to deem someone just because they're not an Amaretz to be.
Correct.
But what if we know Vada?
Then he's Tamei.
Then he's Tamei.
But I think the Rambam would have to admit that also. You can't tell me that I saw him, you know, and not call it whatever it is. I think the Rambam would have to acknowledge that.
So there is a form of deeming even in the Rambam.
Yes, even in the Rambams, yes. Now, the practical difference between the view of the Rambam and the view of the Turei Evan is the question of the barrel that was opened during Yom Tov. Because if I take the view of the Rambam, the barrel is Tahor. Right? Because I really believe that people were Tahor during Yom Tov. It was true. As long as he didn't touch it after Yom Tov was over, the barrel is fine. Whereas if I take the Turei Evans approach, that it's simply that we didn't create the gzera because we don't want enmity and embarrassment and so on during Yom Tov's over. They're gone. Doesn't make a difference at this point. And therefore the barrel will revert to a status of Tumah.
How does the Rambam deal with the Mishnah?
Because the whole concern was you don't want to embarrass them during Yom Tov. We won't have them at our table.
No, but what he's saying is there was a deeming in effect before that if you were in Yom Haaretz, you were Tamei. And he said if you take away that deeming.
You do, right.
Then it doesn't mean they're automatically Tamei anymore.
No.
Or you're only taking away the deeming.
No, what we're saying. Exactly. Yeah.
How are you going to deal with the how does the Rambam. Because the Rambam is absolute like that. Why does the Rambam have a problem with the Kalim in the Hazara?
Right. So they discuss the question of the Kalim in the Beis HaMikdash. That is discussed. Like, Echron go into this in greater depth than I brought here tonight. But they ask, that's one of the key questions that they ask, especially because of the position we're going to see Rabbi Yehuda take in our Gemara, seems to contradict his position regarding the Kalim and the Beis HaMikdash.
There might be a fundamental difference between the Kalim and the...
Correct.
These were not purchases, right? We were talking about purchases.
Well, they are. In other words, I open my barrel in the store.
What is it? So he's coming back.
He's coming back to settle up the account.
Right, or you're out of pocket.
But he's only coming back to sell the account for what he bought. What do you mean?
Okay, so the goods are no longer on display at that point? Okay.
Yeah, you finished the barrel, hopefully. If you didn't, then that's where this discussion comes
right.
in. But either way, he's just giving you your cash. And he's not hanging out.
To the goods.
He's going home. He's got a long way home. But take a look at Sori's Hay, where the Turei Evan brings this distinction between the two views. The discussion here, the discussion that I'm bringing now in Hay, is in terms of the question of being able to finish the barrel. Because now, actually, before we see Sori's Hay, just to show you back into the Gemara, in our Gemara, the line that we read, Rachba brought, Rachba quotes Rabbi/Rav Yehuda saying, "Apa posea chaviso maschil bisaso agav haregel," that this person who opens up his barrel, this person who starts the dough, we tell him he is tahor in the end. After Yom Tov is over, it's still tahor. Because otherwise he wouldn't open it in the first place. Va'alibad Rabbi Yehuda, following the view of Rabbi Yehuda da Amar Yigmor, because Rabbi Yehuda says, you finish the thing, it's not Tamei. Got it? So on that, the Turei Evan makes his comment in Source Hay. He's commenting on the Gemara in Chagiga, where it says, the Chachamim against Rabbi Yehuda say, no, it's Tamei, lo Yigmor. He says, Kasha Lahavin, this is difficult to understand. Amai lo hitiru Rabbanan ha'chasofan mishum tchilasan. Why don't the Rabbanan take that view of permitted at the end so that he'll start it in the beginning? The Amar Parakama debates at our Gemara, Gimel Devar Mitu Yisuf Mishum Tchilasan Ve'elu Hein Or Lefnei Hadorsan, the rest of our Sugya. V'hashta Maishna V'hani Tlasa Mili Modu Rabbanan Dehut Yisuf Mishum Tchilasan U'maishna V'paseach Chaviso Pligi V'leslu Haitaima. He says, what's the difference? Why is it that for the first three, they're willing to say, yes, we make sure that you'll do this thing in the beginning and we'll permit it at the end, but suddenly when it comes to the Amaretz, they're not willing to do so. The Yesh Lamar, he says, you could say, Debishlama Hasan Hitirusofan Mishum Trilasan, the reason why in those other cases they permitted it. Deilo Sharis Laili Shtawa Haor Loasi Lemishlat. Says if you're not gonna let him set out the hide, as we've said, he won't shecht at all. Veilo Sharis Lahabzira Tracin, Loasi Lasalek, Vasilim Limnoa Misim Khazyamtov. If you don't let him put back the shutters, so he's not going to open up his store in the first place in the market, and there will be no Simchas Yom Tov. And the same thing is true for the bandage. If you will not allow him to replace it, he won't remove it. He won't do the avodah. But here, if you don't permit him to finish, that's not going to keep him from opening up the barrel. Why? Because you can manage to keep it away from the customers. You keep your barrel behind the counter, you don't admit customers behind the counter, and then it'll stay tahor. Inami, alternatively, he'll declare, I'm only selling to chaverim. Right? He's reducing his market. But on the other hand, now he can add to the price. He can jack up the price because you know when you buy in that store, you're only getting tahor. So it works both ways. Right. Inami, alternatively, hacha gabe poseach es chaviso, here when he opens his barrel, hakevan de efsher de yigmor v'yimko beregel es hakol misfeka shema yishor lo ktsas acha regel lo mimna. He says there is a possibility when you open the barrel that you'll finish the whole thing on Yom Tov and that you'll have no headaches. Right? As opposed to in the case, let's say, of the shutters, where you know you need to close up shop at the end of the day. You're guaranteed that when you open it and you can't close it, you have a problem. You don't have a similar, and you have a guaranteed problem with the leather also. You know the hide is going to be unusable if you can't put it out in front of the people to trample it. And what was our third case? It was the hide, the shutters, and the bandage. Ditto. You know you want to put the bandage back on. Whereas with the wine, you have a chance that the ending won't come to pass. You'll finish the barrel during Yom Tov.
Just to make sure that I understand.
Yeah.
The discussion is only if you really touched it.
Yes.
If you didn't touch it, there is no
You're fine.
Problem.
No issue. Rabbi Yehuda Chayishla. So Rabbi Yehuda was concerned, even though we have all of these inamis, even though it may not come to pass, and even though you could keep the thing behind the counter, and even though you can sell just the chaverim, Rabbi Yehuda still said, you know what, tell him he can finish the barrel anyway. But the Chachamim said, what for? That's the idea. So that's he says, the machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim.
It extends the principle of farther than the Chachamim would be prepared to extend.
Yeah, because the Chachamim said there's no need. That's where the Turei Aven explains it. So that's the fourth one on our list of the Hitiru Sofan Mishum Chilasan cases. We're going to see there are actually more cases of Hitiru Sofan Mishum Chilasan than these four. But these are the four that were presented here in the Gemara. So the Gemara has a question now. If you take a look at, it's where the lines get wide and you go up from there, up seven or eight lines, Orlef Neha Dorsan. The Gemara tackles the three items that Ula put on the list. So the first item is the hide. And the Gemara asks, Ula, what do you need to mention this on your list? It's a Mishnah. Right? We saw this Mishnah. Orlef Neha Dorsan Tanena. We already had that in the Mishnah, back on Daf Yud Aleph. Daf Yud Aleph. We're now on Amud Beis. So the Gemara says, yeah, but ma'u desema tamayu de beis hillel mishum dechazi lemizga alayu va'afilu me'erev yom tov nami. I might have misunderstood that Mishnah if I'd only had that Mishnah in a vacuum. Because remember, the Mishnah never mentioned the magic words, hitiru sofan mishum tchilasan. All the Mishnah said is beis hillel lets you put the hide out in front of the people who are going to trample it. So I might have thought beis hillel's reason is not because this way you'll do Shechita on Yom Tov. Maybe Beis Hillel's rationale is simply because the hide is suitable for lying down on, and therefore it's not obvious that you're putting it out for trampling. And therefore you'll think, Vafilu me Erev Yom Tov Nami, even if you shechted it on Erev Yom Tov, you'd be allowed to put the hide out on Yom Tov. I wouldn't see any reason to distinguish. Kamash Malan, so what Ula is coming along to teach me is, Hitiru Sofan Mishum Tchilasan, that the only reason Beis Hillel permits is because of making sure you'll shecht. In which case, The Yom Tov in the Erev Yom Tov Lo, it's only a function of today being Yom Tov. Otherwise, Beis Hillel would not permit it. If you shefted it Erev Yom Tov, he'll say, too bad, you should put it out then. We're not going to let you do this on Yom Tov without this rationale of we want to make sure you'll shecht. That's case number one. Case number two, the Shul of Rav, bless you. Trace Chanuyos, the shutters from the store. Nami Tanena, that's also a Mishnah. It's our Mishnah from right here. We said it, they added in brackets, Ubeis Helamatir and Aflahafzir, in case you forgot the Mishnah that we just saw. So, Mahu Desema, yeah, but I would have had a different rationale for Beis Hillel. Our Mishnah didn't use the words, Hitivu Sofan Mishum Trilasan. So I would have said, Tamayu de Beis Hillel Mishum De'ein Binyan Bekalim Be'ein Stira Bekalim. I would have said Beis Hillel's rationale in being lenient was because he says there's no issue of construction and demolition when it comes to Kalim. Va'afilu debatim nami, so that not just the shutters in the marketplace would be fine, but shutters on some cabinet in your house would be fine also. It wouldn't make a difference. It's that he holds that construction and demolition are not an issue when you're dealing with kalim. Kamash malan itirusofan mishum tchilasan, and therefore Ula comes to tell me, no, the only reason he permitted it was because of hisirusof mishum tchilasan. We wanted to make sure you would open the store, and therefore the chanuyos in the batim lo, we are only allowed to do it with the store, not with the ones in your house. You follow? It's important as you read that, debatim doesn't mean the shutters of your house, because that's not a kli. It means the shutters of kalim that are inside your house. That's what he's talking about. Shai, you were going to...
Binyan, binyan doesn't apply maybe to food, but what do you mean binyan doesn't apply to kalim?
I'm glad you asked. Where
does binyan apply?
Right. What is this?
Every binyan we do is with a kli l'chara.
I mean, so what we do need to ask and answer is the question of what is this rule of there being no issue of construction when it comes to kalim, there being no issue of demolition?
What is Malach Binyan? Where else is it?
What, a house? You build a house.
Yeah, so a house is like a Mechubal Karkas, it's not a kalim. Okay.
But take a look at your sheet, source of
Binyan, right? So you're telling me that all our halachas of Binyan deraisa would be only with the base of Mikdash, with building the base of Mikdash, not the kalim?
Take a look on your sheet. I'll save you time. The Aruch HaShulchan, in his discussion of Boneh, explains right at the outset the difference between Kalim and a Binyan, a real structure. This is Aruch HaShulchan, Aruch Chaim Shin Yud Dalid, Aleph. Zeh She'amru B'Gemara, when the Gemara in Shabbos says, Ein Binyan B'Kalim V'Ein Stira B'Kalim, that there's no such thing as construction or demolition regarding kalim, ein hakavana kipshuto. It doesn't mean what it sounds like it means when you just translate the words as we just did. De'im kain ein isur min hatara lasos kli b'shabbos. You would be telling me there's nothing wrong with midyaraisa with making a kli on Shabbos. I can assemble any kli I like on Shabbos. He says that's nonsense.
Makavapatish
is a function of both. Well, what makev patish is actually a really good question. It's bona, mitakin, and makev patish are this sort of mess together that need to be sorted out. It's not as clear cut at all as all that. Makev patish, I believe the Rishalmi says, is a catch all. Like when you can't figure out what to call it, it's makev patish.
Doesn't the Gemara somewhat distinguishes the bona between large pieces and smaller pieces? And
there's a whole discussion about tokea, whether you stab things together in a forceful way.
Right, so there are ways of getting around. Like it may be bona, but it's not. In other words, to the observer, it could be bona or not bona.
What about the menorah, right?
The menorah is the case of assembling the holy.
Right, yeah. Bar Shabbos earlier, like in the third paragraph.
But you'll see here. But what he's talking about is the second, but yeah. But Ella lo amru zeh, Ella le inyan hachumros sheikh miru chachamim beinyan zeh. I add in the words in brackets of Shal Binyan. He says, when they said this, that there's no such thing as construction for kalim, they were talking about the derabanan actions of construction. When something is asur mid oraisa as construction, it's asur for construction whether you're doing it in a building or whether you're doing it with a kli. It's only when your action is only aser midrabbanan that they say it doesn't apply to a kli. The rabbanan did not create the gzera for a kli. Kimo b'sham, like the Gemara there in Shabbos Kufchav Beis, demayri le'inyan netilas v'chazaras delasos, which is actually talking about taking a door off of a kli or adding it back onto a kli. That's not bonem midoraisa. That's not biblical building. Your structure, in other words, if you take the door off your house is still a house. Midoraisa, you've done nothing wrong. Midrabanan, we don't do it. But they didn't create such a gzera for a kli. So if you have, for example, I'm making something up now. You have a vase, and the vase has a door. I'm imagining that there was such a thing. You took the door off the vase, you put the door back on the vase, that's not aser on Shabbos. There's no binyan or stira. Sorry?
A lid.
Well, lid may enter into OL things if it's wide enough, right? Then you have that as a separate
like
problem.
The canopy that we tried to put up once, and started before Rabbi Karofkin told not to do it, where there were poles and there were hooks. Mm. And they tried to assemble that, and he said, I guess, Midrabanan, and you can't.
Right. Well, that's an OL issue, right?
Well, no, because it wouldn't be an OL necessarily, because it was just a flat.
Right, but if it's a flat roof and it's meant to shield something underneath it specifically, then it's OL Midrabanan.
Right, but I think there's an exception from Kavod HaTorah to do that. And
the rabbi told you not to do it.
He told you because of binyan, I think, though. Because of binyan, I think.
Well, that's what it is. When you set up an ohel, it's bona.
Right, but you can do bona without an ohel.
That's true, but it sounds like what he's talking about was bona and making the ohel. Ask him.
Are we talking about any type of door? The door is basically in those tons that were sort of made to be taken off.
Yes.
Okay, so... And same thing with all the cables.
Well, we'll see more about that, because the Gemara is going to deal with that in terms of where the hinges are on the door and distinguishing different types of door attachments.
Okay.
But that's the pshat. The pshat is the Habanim, you might thought they still held that this might be okay. You might get the wrong interpretation,
right.
But this is still a smidr rabban.
But he says, V'chem perakama debetza amru zeh le'inyan silu katresin, right? He quotes our Gemara that we just read. V'chem lekaman sham, and also in Beitza Chav Beis, what Gerard was remembering from Sham, is le'inyan zekifas menorah, assembling a candelabra. T'chol elu advarim ein bem iser binyan klal min ha-Torah. None of them involve biblical construction. Ela midrabanan hu da'asru mishum geder binyan usubis ugin. Mishum geder binyan ustira. U'bazeh amru ein binyan ve'ein stira be'kelim. That's what they were talking about when they said it doesn't apply regarding Kalim. And you will never find the statement of Ein Binyan Ustira B'Kalim other than on the Rabbanan types of construction. That's part one.
That's how you're asking, basically?
The Aruch HaShulchan says it.
Right.
Yeah. But he continues. He says, I'll prove to you this is the Rambam's position as well. V'chein mevor midibrei HaRambam. He says in Perek Yud and Hilchos Shabbos, where the Rambam goes through the Avos Malacha, and he mentions Bona, he does not say Bona of houses versus Bona of Kalim. He just says Bona. The other Rambam, just the opposite, Kasav Shem B'din Yud Gimel, he actually wrote explicitly, if you create a Kli of earth, you have performed a tolda of bona. So there is binyan in kalim. So he said you're liable not only for a structure but even for a kli. And yet, the kasav shem bedin chav hei, the Rambam writes further along, hatokeya, one who stabs something into something else, to assemble something, to put it together. Tokeya doesn't mean blowing shofar. The chayav mishum bona. He's liable for construction. Therefore, doors that are connected to the ground may not be removed and may not be reattached. Lest you stab them into place. But if it's the door of a box, different types of boxes are mentioned here, Nolan, that you can do. And the Rambam is still speaking. He says, you're not allowed to reassemble a candelabra made out of jointed units. It looks like construction. However, that's a derabanan. If you did, you're exempt. So there he invokes the rule that bona does not apply to kalim. When it comes to real construction, no, you can't actually create kalim on Shabbos. the rule of Ein Binyan Nisgira B'Kelim is restricted to Dirabanan.
So this whole issue with cans, for example.
Dirabanan.
Right? And, it's, right. And there is no steer by Dirabanan, right?
No, there is. There would be a rabbinic problem.
The problem, no, the oh. problem, the problem is that they're not going to call it bona. They'll call it mitake. It's not bona. It's also potentially creating a kli in the sense that if you hold, you can't, let's say, separate off the metal cap because the ring that's going to separate from it. The idea is you've actually created a kli. It's not a. It's actually not a secondary form. Right. It's a primary form. Maybe.
Getting back to our Gemara for a second.
Yeah.
Would Beit Hillel hold that in a house that has a door, a hinged door that's removable, that you cannot remove it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. On a house, he would not allow it. That's correct.
That would be Beit Hillel.
Yeah.
Even on a clean one, unless he has his permission. That's the chiddush of what we're saying. You wouldn't even,
right.
You might think you would allow it. That's why he mentions it clearly to tell you that here he doesn't allow it. The only reason it's allowed here is only because of this concept of...
Right. I mean, we have more to see on the hinges and how it's attached.
Right. I just thought of Gemara Shabbos. It allows you, if the door or the window is attached with a string, it allows you to remove it on Shabbat,
mm-hmm.
which would mean that you are allowed to remove something from a house.
Yeah, but that might be a case where it's not, it's your removing isn't real removing because it's not really attached.
I have to go look at the Gemara there.
It's only attached by a string. I mean, the string was an issue of reshut, so it doesn't fall out of a...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but maybe that's not really attached.
We'd have to see it. But the Gemara then says, what about Ula's third case? Why did he need the third case? That's also a Mishnah. If you take a look, we are now on the first of the wide lines. Chazaras Ritiyah B'Mikdash Nami Taneina, replacing the bandage in the base of Mikdash is also a Mishnah. Not here, but a Mishnah elsewhere. Machzirin Ritiyah B'Mikdash Avalo B'Medina, you're allowed to replace the bandage in the base of Mikdash after the Avo. This is what we're talking about. But not outside the base of Mikdash. So the Gemara says, yeah, but there too. Mahu Disema Tamamai. I would have said, what was his reason for permitting it? Mishum de'ein shvuz b'mikdash. That his rationale was because he says the rabbanans don't apply in the Beis HaMikdash. That's his rationale. Na hitiru sofa mishum t'chilaso. And therefore, afilu kohen delav baravodahu. Even if you had a kohen who was not eligible to serve, he could replace his bandage also. Because he's in the Beis HaMikdash. That's what I might have thought. Kamash malan hitiru sofa mishum t'chilasan. So therefore, Ula is trying to teach me that the only reason it's permitted is because of making sure that he will remove the bandage for avoda in the first place, and therefore did bar avoda in the la bar avoda lo. It's only going to be permitted for somebody who can do the avoda. Then, so we've now explained why Ula needed to list these three cases. Even though they're all halachos from Mishnayos, he's explaining those Mishnayos. So now we turn to Rahba. And Rahba, you had case number 4. Right? You introduced us to this issue of finishing the barrel. So our question is, why did you need to add that as item number 4? It's a Mishnah in Chagiga. Poseach es chaviso nami. The case of opening the barrel too. Taneina. It's also a Mishnah. Poseach es chaviso umas chaviso. So agav haregel. If a person opens up his barrel and starts his dough during Yom Tov, saying, well, everybody's tahor anyway. Rav Yehuda Omer Yigmor. Rav Yehuda says you get to finish it as though it was still tahor. V'chacham Omer Lo Yigmor. The Chacham say you can't. So it's already been discussed. Mahu disema tumas amaaretz beregel kitahara shavu a rabbanan. I might have said that they consider the tuma of the amaaretz on Yom Tov like tahara. The avagav lo hischil nami, and therefore even where he did not begin the barrel during Yom Tov, it's still going to be fine after Yom Tov. Kamash malan itiru sofen mishum tchilasan, and the answer is no. They only permitted it in the end. Rabbi Yehuda only permits it in the end in order to make sure you're going to open it during Yom Tov. Hischilin, it's only if you did start it. Lo hischilo, but if you didn't start it, then you're out of luck. So that's why we needed to mention it. Otherwise, I would have said you could start your barrel after Yom Tov is over, even if it was touched by an am haaretz during Yom Tov. That would have been what you would end up saying. Yeah.
Which Rabbi Yehuda is this?
This is Rabbi Yehuda the Tana, who we're quoting, who said Yigmar.
So it's not the same Rabbi Yehuda.
Correct. If you go back to Rahba's comment, he said, "V'aliba de Rabbi Yehuda de Amar Yigmar." That's the other. That's the original.
Okay.
the one who Rachba was not directly quoting. No matter how you slice it, he can't be quoting the original Rabbi Yehuda. So the but now we have a problem. Rachba made a really good case for why you had to mention this as Iti Rusofa Mishum Chilasa, so that people would understand that it's only if you actually open the barrel. If you didn't open the barrel and the Amaris touched it during the regal, even Rabbi Yehuda is going to say Tameh. So now my question is, since this is such a good candidate for the set, why didn't Ula mention it? Why did Ula leave it out? Ula only gave us three. Why didn't he give us the fourth? That's what the Gemara wants to know. The Ula Maitaimalo Amarha. Why didn't Ula include this case of the barrel? Biplukta lo kamairi, because he wasn't interested in being involved in debates. That case involves Rabbi Yehuda saying Yigmor and the Chachamim say no. So the Gemara says, well, Hanach Nami plukta ninhu. Well, the other ones that you did, Ula, had a machlokas beis hillel beis shammai. To which the Gemara answers, yeah, but that doesn't count. Beis shammai makom beis hillel in a mishnah. That's not a machlokas. If it's beis shammai versus beis hillel, that's not a machlokas. So that's why I didn't include his case.
Is this also the halacha that if a goy touches a barrel of wine, it's tamei?
If he touches
an unopened barrel, it's tamei?
If an Akum touches an unopened... You're talking about something else.
No.
That's a whole other discussion. Right. So I'm actually going to stop here. Because someone's calling me from the hospital with a question tonight. So I need to get back for that. Otherwise, I would have said, let's make a run for the Mishnah. But...